first of all, congratulations on the election victory.
Thank you.
And you and your Democratic opponent during the campaign, Fred Hubble, differed on a lot of different things. But I'm curious, did you ever meet with him and talk with him about some of the things that you might have seen as good ideas?
No, but we will. In fact, I just had wrote that down for my chief of staff, Sarah Craig, to reach out and get an appointment set up. So I look forward to sitting down. I said that on the night of the election that, you know, I look forward to sitting down and talking to him about some of the ideas and what he heard when he was on the campaign trail. So we'll get that done. We just haven't yet. But, you know, we've been through Christmas and New Year's, and so we're kind of gearing up right now, and we'll get that set up.
So now you've been elected to your first full term as governor. How do you want to make your mark in this job?
Oh, listen, I want to, you know, I'm excited to have 4 years to really work on keeping Iowa moving in the right direction to continue to grow the economy. I'm excited about the strength and, you know, where the success and where Iowa is at. The, you know, our economy is strong. We have a balanced budget. Our cash reserves are fuller than when I took office in 2011, and we have $127 million surplus. So that's a better position to be in as we move into this next legislative session. And we continue to see the economy grow. As I talk to businesses across the state, they still remain optimistic. It just comes down to, you know, workers. And so that's a tremendous opportunity, I believe, for Iowans. And we're, through Future Ready Iowa, looking forward to helping them get the skills and then matching them up with great job opportunities across the state of Iowa. But, you know, we continue to see we're second lowest cost of doing business, third best managed state. As I said, 4 quarters of income growth, that wage increases, that's exciting. That lagged. We hadn't seen that happening. And so to have 4 straight quarters, I think they just released a report not too long ago where, you know, every county except for 3 saw significant income growth. So especially in rural Iowa, I was really excited to see that. I think Sioux County had an increase of about 20%, and O'Brien and Lyon and one other one had an increase of 25%. The average across all of them was about 9%. So those are statistics, and those are movements in the right direction.
One question about some of the things you might have heard during the campaigning. There's a lot of talk about differences between urban and rural Iowa. Did you see that when you were out there on the campaign trail, or were there more similarities?
Oh, there's more similarities. I think I've always said Iowa is one big small community. And when I talk about empowering rural Iowa, you know, I've always said that for Iowa to truly be successful, we need to see growth and prosperity in every single corner of the state. It can't just happen in pockets. And truly, when, you know, our communities in rural Iowa as well as urban Iowa, when they're growing and prosperous, then we're going to see great things happening. Agriculture is the backbone of our economy, and we should be proud of that. We play a really big role and feeding and fueling the world. And so it's interconnected. And it's so funny when I talk about future, or when I would talk about Empower Rural Iowa, you know, I would ask the groups that I was talking to, how many of you either have family in rural Iowa or come from rural Iowa? And almost every single hand would go up. And so they want to, even if they've chose to live in the cities, they want to see their small communities being, you know, vibrant and growing and successful. So I think it's connected, and we all have, you know, the same goal of really growing our economy and keeping our young people in the state and looking for opportunity to bring new people back to the state of Iowa.
This is the third legislative session that Republicans will have control of both chambers and the governor's office. A lot of Republican priorities went through in the last couple of sessions. What's left?
Well, there's a lot of things left. We should never stop thinking about what we can do differently. And I can't tell you all the things that are left because I'm going to talk about that and the condition of the state. But a couple of things that I talked about on the campaign trail that I think is really important. You know, we put last year unanimously, we passed Future Ready Iowa because every single legislator was hearing from their constituencies back home. I'm excited about the opportunities. Our business is growing. I need people. I hear it multiple times a day, and so was every legislator. And so for that bill to pass unanimously, we've got kind of the policy in place and the infrastructure, and now we need to put the funding in that will allow us to really, you know, get Iowans the skills that they need so that they can have a great quality of life in Iowa. So that's part of the, really, I think, one of the things that we'll be working on. Same thing with, we took mental health, passed unanimously last year. I'm really proud of the comprehensive mental health reform, identified the barriers, addressed it in a significant piece of legislation, and now we need to make sure that we can sustain that and we can, you know, implement what we passed last legislative session.
Do you think the money's there to implement it?
Well, we're working on that right now. I think, you know, last year when we, with managed care, when we certified the rates in the contracts, a part of that rate took into account the mental health reform that we passed. That was included, some money was included in that. So they actually are moving forward already with a lot of the initiatives that were outlined in that piece of legislation. So we need to take a look at that and see what else we need to do working with the regions and the stakeholders and the providers to make sure that we can sustain that and that we can adequately fund it to really provide Iowans the services that they're looking for.
On your election night acceptance speech, you said you were just getting started with cutting taxes. The latest revenue estimates predicts a little bit of a growth in fiscal year 2020, and some say that that could easily get eaten up by personnel and Medicaid costs. Will you pursue additional tax cuts if that estimate holds true?
Well, you know, timing is yet to be determined, but I'm going to continue to look for ways that we can be more competitive as a state and look for opportunity to have allow Iowans and small businesses and farmers to keep more of their hard-earned money. I mean, that's what we should always be doing as a government. We have certain obligations and responsibilities to the taxpayers of Iowa, but we also, I believe that they're better positioned to decide what they can do with their money and not government. So we'll continue to look. We still, our corporate tax rate, we're still highest, number one, highest in the country. So if we're going to be competitive, we need to take a look at that. But, you know, that involves taking a look at the tax credits, doing the due diligence on that, looking at them holistically, looking for opportunities to maybe streamline some of those while driving down corporate tax rates. Whether that happens this next legislative cycle or the next year, we got 4 years to continue to work on that. But we want to make sure, just like we did with the historic tax reform that we passed, it was significant. It was the largest tax cut in the history of the state, but we did it in a responsible manner, and we did it while maintaining our priorities of education, healthcare, and public safety. And so that will be the same vein that we'll continue to look at as we look at additional tax cuts.
We're coming out of a couple of years of status quo budgets and mid-year budget cuts. Would you say that restoring funding to the agencies that, you know, are saying they badly need it and haven't had enough budget increases in the past few years, would that be a priority over additional tax cuts, or how do you see that working?
Well, it's a combination of both. As I just indicated, we needed to do it in a responsible and thoughtful manner. So as we implemented the largest tax cut, so we gave more, you know, hardworking Iowans and small businesses, allowed them to keep more of their money. We also did it in a manner that we were able to fund our priorities, which is education, healthcare, and public safety. And, you know, we're going to continue as agencies to look for opportunities to do things in a more efficient and effective manner, to look at opportunities to collaborate and use technology, you know. So we'll take a look at what their needs are, how we can continue to be better at what we're doing, to work across agencies, and maybe through collaborative efforts, there's opportunity for us to not only do a better job, but to do it in a more efficient manner as well. So it's we're taking a look at all of that. When they, you know, did budget hearings, most of them, you know, came in with the status quo budget, but there are some areas where we need to make some changes, and that's part of the process, and we'll take a look at that, and that'll be reviewed, or that'll be laid out in the budget that we put forward on the second day of the legislative session.
Well, one agency that asked for a status quo budget was the Department of Corrections, but they also indicated that even though they were asking for a status quo budget, they had received additional money this year that was vital to them maintaining staffing levels, and that they really needed extra money in the future, too.
Yep, so we work with them, and we'll sit down with them, and we'll take a look at that and see what we can do.
Are you concerned at all that there might be a big incident? You know, it's corrections. It's obviously public safety is a huge issue.
Well, they monitor that all the time, and I have great confidence. Jerry Bartriff was the director of corrections. He did a phenomenal job. We'll have an acting director until we can do a national search, but I have the confidence in them that they are looking at the staffing requirements that they need to manage the agency. In addition to that, you know, we want to make sure that we start to limit the number of people that are being incarcerated. And so, again, it goes back to if we can help Iowans get the skills that they need and match them up with a great job, a lot of the other areas, you know, start to take care of themselves. And so we're ready to invest in Iowans, not only in our K-12 educational system, but for our adult learners as well. and really, again, help match them up with, I mean, probably 60,000 jobs on an average daily open in the state of Iowa, and these are good jobs. So the more we can take care of it on the front end, that starts to alleviate some of the pressures that we're seeing in the correctional system. In addition to that, I am so proud. We are leading the country when it comes to offering apprenticeship programs in every one of our correctional institutions. And, you know, that's making sure that when they do have the opportunity to reenter into society, they have a skill, hopefully they have a driver's license, and they have an employer that's ready to hire them. And the statistics show that if they have a job and they're reunited with their family, the chances of them recidivism is much lower. And so, you know, it's, you can't just isolate when you're looking at these things. You need to look at it from a holistic perspective and how all of that works together for the system and for Iowans.
There was a major climate change report that came out recently that said that there would be some major effects on farmers down the road. Are there things that you think Iowa can be doing to reduce the
burden? We're a leader when it comes to renewable energy. I think we've set the standard that other states across this country are trying to emulate. I mean, we're to the place where 40% of our electricity is generated by renewable energy, and we're continuing to build on that. So, you know, we recognized, I mean, just the natural resources that we have. Wind alone, we're number one in the country. Ethanol, biodiesel, we lead. We're exporting. Biogas, we're taking a look at that. Economic development is really kind of driving biosciences as the next industry or sector where we can see a lot of growth. And part of that is looking at alternative renewable energy, especially with biogas.
Anything the legislature you'd like to see from them regarding environmental issues?
Well, you know, I mean, we're just going to continue to lead. I think our agencies are doing that. I indicated the economic development is already taking the initiative. We're continuing to look at the next generation. I'll continue to be an advocate for you know, a robust and strong renewable fuel standard. It's important. It's important to Iowa. It's important to rural Iowa to provide additional income with the ethanol, biodiesel, and biogas. And so we're going to continue to work with the administration in the White House to know that that's a priority, and we're going to hold them accountable to what they, you know, to the support that they said that they would have for the industry. So, you know, infrastructure, we need to take a look at that. That's important that we have that in place so we can grow the industry. If we don't have the pumps that the blender pumps, then we can't continue to grow the industry. But we've seen tremendous growth in that over the last several years with the funding that we put in place through that.
Sticking with agricultural issues, if the trade standoff with China continues beyond the 90-day reprieve, what can the state do to help farmers who are bearing the brunt of this tariff turmoil?
Yeah, well, it's been interesting because, you know, the longer this goes on, it's nobody wins in a trade war. We've, you know, that's clear. I think everybody knows that. I'm encouraged by, you know, the conversation. I'm encouraged that they have a 90-day standoff in place while they're doing the negotiation. I understand that they had a call over the holidays, so the leaders continue to communicate. So I'm grateful that we got the NAFTA renegotiated with the USMCA. That's significant for Iowa that we have CORUS. We renegotiated that. We've opened up Argentina. So there's a lot of positive things happening. But it's, you know, it's clear that, you know, not getting something done with China will have an impact on Iowa. And so we're watching it very, very closely. Again, encouraged that they seem to be communicating. They're talking. If you're, you know, that's a big step forward if they're not talking. It's my understanding that a team's going over to China shortly to kind of continue those conversations. So the governor or the ambassador will be participating in those conversations. And again, I think that's really helpful for not only Iowa, but for the United States.
You're talking about former Governor Branstad.
Former Governor Branstad, yep.
Switching subjects here, during a debate, you had said that you would want Iowans to be able to obtain birth control pills without a prescription. Will you work to enact this policy during this upcoming legislative session? Okay.
Yep.
I think some critics might say that it's sort of after, you know, there were changes to the family planning program and we've seen a decline in participation there. And I realize the legislature has acted to bring a couple more providers back into the program. I mean, is I guess some critics might say this is sort of a patch on something that's already on that declining participation.
Well, I think that they should support it. I think this is another opportunity for us to have bipartisan support in something that makes sense. You know, I've been looking at that. I mentioned a couple governors that I had reached out to that have enacted legislation, especially Utah was one of the ones. Governor Gary Herbert, who I talked to, it actually passed unanimously there. It's the right thing to do. It makes sense. I think Senator Ernst is working on legislation at the national level as well. And so, you know, critics will be critics. This is an opportunity for us to do a common sense thing that I think needs to be done. So I would encourage, I would hopeful that I can, we can have bipartisan support and we can move this through.
And women, obviously, in Iowa also need availability to doctors, not just birth control pills. And so I think Iowa ranks pretty low in terms of the number of gynecologists and obstetricians in the state. Is there anything that you think the legislature can do?
Tort reform is one of the things that we were able to pass in the last legislative sessions that was driving doctors out of the state. When Texas did tort reform, it completely turned their system around. And so I think we've started to take some of the necessary steps that hopefully will help drive that.
Final question here. You recently said you'd be open to looking at changes to how judges are chosen in the state. Is there something about the process that you think is flawed?
Oh, well, I think, you know, right now, 8 of the positions are selected by the bar. And so I think it makes sense for the legislature to take a look at that and review it. And I look forward to seeing what the recommendations are.
All right. Governor Reynolds, thank you.
Thank you.